Hey everyone, this is Dwayne Scotty. In this episode, we're going to talk about why I changed my PT practice name from Scotty Performing Arts Physical Therapy to Spark Physical Therapy. So tune in and we'll get into the details.
Hey everybody, welcome back to PT Tech Talk Podcast. This is episode 87. This is Dave Kittle, one of two co-hosts. I'm a physical therapist, a mobile concierge, travel on-demand physical therapist here in New York City. Brooklyn specifically, and Manhattan. Currently working with Ron Miller at www.cashbasedphysicaltherapy.org, helping practice owners attract and retain more private pay, out-of-pocket pay patients, and eventually on a journey to a freedom-based lifestyle. Again, www.cashbasedphysicaltherapy.org for more. And my co-host, Rob Vining, who is super busy and is not here at this time. He is running many different projects, and one thing he's working on big time is telehealthpt.com. For more, you can check out www.telehealthpt.com and learn about how you can get started in telehealth today. All right, so Dwayne Scotty, welcome in, man. First of all, we've already done a Facebook Live on this topic. This is going to be simple and easy and just laid back. Before we get into why you are change or why you did change your practice name, for anyone that doesn't know you, just give a quick little bio, a little bit of introduction about yourself, and then we'll get into the business part.
Well, first off, Dave, I just want to say thank you very much. I'm like honored to actually be on your podcast. Big believer in podcasting and kind of furthering your education. And podcasting for me has been an amazing way to learn about all the different facets of physical therapy and things you can go into. So once I heard about your podcast, I definitely started listening because obviously, you know, technology is usually not a strength in PT. So learning the more we can about technology has been very helpful to me. So I am a physical therapist. I've been a physical therapist for 16 years. I'm an educator also at a university. I'm a researcher. And I opened up my own cash-based practice a little over a year and a half ago now. And today we're going to talk about kind of the genesis of me changing the name of the practice from Scotty Performing Arts PT to Spark Physical Therapy.
Absolutely. And now this podcast specifically, we kind of started it as like the technology component of physical therapy. And now we're doing more with not just technology, but we want to have more content, more interviews about the marketing and the physical therapy business side of our industry. And so this episode, this chat and discussion will be pretty much completely about the business side of a practice and why that if you start a practice, a side hustle or a full-blown practice and you name it something or you have a certain logo or whatever, why that does not mean you cannot change it in the future. So remind everyone if they might have skipped through the intro. Some people do that. Like I said in the pre-interview, I know sometimes I do that. So tell us your first name of the practice and why you chose that name, and then also the impetus of why you went with a name change, a brand logo change, and everything.
Yes. So initially, for the last really 5 to 6 years, I really started specializing my practice into treating a lot of dancers. I took a lot of dance medicine courses. I was a dance instructor. So I was seeing a lot of dancers in the clinic that I was working in, and it was kind of a natural fit to kind of further my education in dance medicine to help some of those dancers because there were not a lot of PTs out there that felt comfortable and knew the exact demands of dancers out there. And then I kind of branched into working more with gymnasts as well. And I was seeing a lot of gymnasts in the clinic. So initially, when I started my own practice, I started out because I wanted to be recognizable that I was kind of out on my own. I've been in this local area my whole career treating for 16 years. So I've developed some, you know, networking connections within my local area. So I wanted to kind of put my last name in the business name and initially name the practice Scotty Performing Arts PT. And the performing arts really spoke to kind of that I was niching down, really defining my audience of I was going to be the PT that specialized in working with dancers and gymnasts. So that was the initial name of the practice once we opened up.
Gotcha. So it's common, you've seen it before, like probably for decades, that physical therapists, they hang their own shingle. And oftentimes, I don't know, it's just the way that many people think, like they see other doctor's offices or other healthcare professionals or even other services, right? Like roofers and HVAC, like a lot of them, they go with the last name of the founder, whoever starts it. So from our other discussion, there were like two components. One was, to break it down for the audience, one was you added your last name to the original practice name. So there's that component of your last name, which we can discuss. And then also the niching down of the performance arts, which is because of that's your passion, what your experience was. But maybe it was like niching you down maybe too much, right? So let's kind of discuss two of those things in case someone else is out there listening and maybe they have, you know, Smith Physical Therapy and they want to, they're like, oh, maybe I should think about changing the name Smith, or what happens if I ever try to sell my practice and it has my name attached to it, and all of those types of considerations.
Right. And I guess maybe even stepping back a bit further in coming up with this decision to actually change the business name, as the business grew over the year, I was kind of, you know, getting things going. I was finally, you know, investing in getting a website. And when I was doing all of that and starting to build out the website, I was considering name changes at that time. And I said, you know, if I'm going to be rolling out this website, I don't want to have to roll out this website and then go ahead and change everything. And if I'm going to do that now, why don't I just, if I'm thinking about changing the name, why don't I do it now? Only been in business for a year, year and a half. And, you know, social media presence is growing and all of that. I said, you know, let's do it now before, you know, I get into practice for 5 years, 10 years. So that was kind of the decision of deciding to change the name of the practice. And then, as you mentioned, there were two elements to it. Was first, I'll kind of take that last name piece of it. The more I've been listening, again, big shout out to, you know, you and Ron Miller and, you know, a bunch of the other kind of mentors out there in the PT business world, and the Facebook group, cash-based, you know, PT Facebook group. You know, I put the question out there and a lot of people respond, give their input. I love that. That's why I love our community. You know, it's so, everyone's so helpful. And right. I was talking about, and I've been learning, you know, about, okay, now let's look, you know, down the road, 20, 30 years from now. And if I ever do want to sell my local practice and looking at the value of that. And so as from my understanding is that if my last name is not associated with it, the value does increase. So if I was, you know, in business for a year and I said, I feel like I've been pretty established now. People know that I'm on my own. I have my own business, very active on social media and doing a lot of marketing in the community. I'm getting out there. So I decided to take the last name out of the new name of the practice. So that was kind of that first element that you mentioned.
Gotcha. Another thing that I've heard from practice owners that not just if the, maybe if the last name of the owner is not associated with like the practice name, but also like, and this is part of like scaling in the future, we'd have to have you come back in the future to discuss more of this, which is like, if your practice can operate independent of you, then it becomes much more of a valuable asset for you to sell and have someone else acquire it. That's a whole another discussion for another day. So now let's go into the component of you having performing arts in the actual practice name. And maybe it was a great thing looking back, like you really niched down, like that was your niche target. But there were some things when we had this other conversation, you and I, that you mentioned that maybe it didn't resonate as well, or there were other people that might have been excluded, other weekend warriors and athletes and people that maybe didn't even realize that you were a physical therapist, or maybe you weren't for them specifically because of that performing arts component of the practice name. Do I have that correct or no?
Yes. No, you do. Absolutely. And I don't think it's bad, you know, looking at back at it now, I don't think it's bad to niche down and have a performing arts if you're going to go all in on really only performing arts. And for me, the struggle I had is, like I said, I was a dance instructor and I'm not doing that anymore right now. So I'm not actively dancing myself. I am helping dancers, obviously, but I am a runner. So I'm an active runner and that's my sport now. That's my competitions, you know, my three halves a year, you know, a bunch of 5Ks. That's my competitive spirit and that's what I love to do and that's my passion. And I really love helping runners with the experience that I have as well. So I was struggling to help that population that I really love especially in my local neighborhood community, there are a lot of runners. So if you're a runner in the area, you know, the performing arts name really doesn't speak to you for you to go to PT, and I would be the specialist in that area. So I was having difficulty. I felt like, you know, I had kind of, you know, alter ego when I put out marketing materials and I had my name on performing arts and I'm trying to speak to runners. So I wanted to be able to have a name that was inclusive of my three ideal kind of avatars or, you know, patient populations that I really love serving. So with opening this practice is after being in the clinic for so many years, getting frustrated with, you know, certain clientele that you don't really love working with. And I really wanted to kind of look at, all right, when do I enjoy my day? What are the patients I go home thinking about that I want to help, you know, and the ones that keep you up at night that you're thinking about that challenge, you're looking up stuff, you know, you're going next level. So it really was those dancers, gymnasts, and runners. So looking at that, I wanted a name that can obviously speak to all three of them. And I was trying to do that. I was trying my best to do that. I the latest version of the name before coming up with Spark was I wanted competition ready. That was a name I threw around because the dancers that I help and the gymnasts, they all compete. So they do competitions. And it's competitive dancers I help, not like the pre-professional or really professional per se, not the elite ballet studios. It's more of the competitive dancer. So I really wanted to kind of speak to them. And then I got some good feedback and saying like, well, runners don't really do competitions. They do more races. So I was struggling with trying to find something that really spoke to my audience, but was inclusive for all three of those populations. So then I kind of went with, I wanted something that was short in name, something that was kind of spoke to action, because the type of performance-based physical therapy that I perform is very active-based. I definitely utilize my manual therapy, whatever, mobilization, manipulation, dry needling, you know, helping pain relief initially, but it's always an active approach, getting my patients moving, putting them in charge. So I wanted something that was more of that performance-based, active tone to it. So I was, you know, searching a bunch of words and, you know, looking up different words and, you know, like competitive edge, or I was looking at the competition ready. You know, those are some initial ideas. There are a lot of PT practices out there that have the word performance in it. So I didn't really want to have to be confused with a lot of those practices out there. And the spark actually came on just, it's kind of funny because I started doing on Instagram more of kind of inspirational quotes or any kind of clinical pearls that I would post on, you know, every other day basis. We do these kind of Scotty sparks. I just kind of thought of it one day, just added the word spark and, you know, wanted the name in there and the name of the business was there. So it kind of made sense. And it was just to kind of add a spark to your training, add a spark to your clinical mindset, because I also, at the time, I also, you know, still have a passion for helping like new grad PTs and kind of the PT students out there, and helping them with some clinical pearls of practice. So I started those. And then when I was toying around with the name that was on the shorter end, because the Scotty Performing Arts PT was very long, and that was, you know, he's so difficult on like marketing materials and on clothing. And so I knew I wanted like one word. And then I also wanted to add in the word physical therapy. Initially, in the initial business name decision, I specifically did not put physical therapy in it and just kept it as PT, because I wanted to define that my practice was different from in the box physical therapy. And I didn't want it to be associated with that. So it needed to kind of be different. But what I did find is of the year of experience that I was in business, when people would see my business name, when they would see it on my clothing, I would, you know, interact with members in the community and they'd be like, oh, performing arts, what do you have? You have a dance studio? What do you do? You know, they really didn't associate me as a medical provider and or as a physical therapist. So that's where I really kind of thought about, hey, maybe I need to put the physical therapy actually in the business name, but then really tailor all my marketing to kind of that story of a runner, a dancer, and a gymnast. So kind of having those niche populations and more of the marketing materials and just always speaking to those audiences.
Yeah, see, this is exactly why I wanted to have you on here, because it's okay to, you have to start somewhere, and you took action. This is one thing that I've seen with many other owners, like a name, a logo, what type of domain, like a .com, what type of website domain and URL that they're choosing. There's a lot of these things where you get to a crossroads, and unfortunately there's other people out there. I hope they listen to this and they actually do take action. But this actually, a lot of these steps paralyze people, which is why I wanted to get you on here, because it's okay. You have to start somewhere and you really focus on a certain niche. Then you realize, okay, let me take a step back. If I name my practice something slightly more broad, you can still, with your different marketing messages and your different social media posts and your content and your word of mouth referrals and all of that, you can still target now your three ideal clients, your three different avatars. So that's really interesting. And even I like hearing from you just the thought process of going into the names, like performance. Like for me, it's like, okay, three syllables. Yes, it gets a little long. And then if you have a name and perform, like Scotty Performance and PT, you know, it gets a little bit longer. And now it's like when I see your social media posts, it's just, I see spark. It's just like, you know, it's like you said, short, quick, not very long and wordy, and something that invokes action, which is again, a component of your niche population. Like those individuals are active. And if they have some type of an injury or, you know, a speed bump or something, you want to get them back to that action. So it's really interesting to hear your thought process, you know, going through all of this. It's really great.
Yeah. And really speaking to your point of taking action, I cannot express that enough. I think there are so many PTs, you know, some, especially new grads, reach out to me, former students of mine, and, you know, they're frustrated. They're kind of where I was. They don't want to work in the mill. They're getting very frustrated where they are. And a lot of times people don't take action. And I really didn't plan on this at all. This was totally unplanned. And it was something that if I didn't have a coach approach me and say, well, you're treating all of our gymnasts in the clinic, and, you know, it's really more convenient for their parents to actually just drop them off here at practice, and you see them while they're here because they have all these carpools, they're traveling from all over the state. Could you just do it out of the gym? Because we have massage therapists that already does that. So then I kind of looked into that, and I was like, well, sure. And then I just looked into it, got, you know, opened the LLC, got insurance, and I was like, all right, there I go. I'm in business. You know, I really didn't research anything. I didn't know what I was doing, but I took action, and it wasn't, you know, great in the beginning. And, you know, things are slow. I got to get the, you know, the business bank account, and you start learning things go. And, but I learned a tremendous amount. I listened to a lot of podcasts, you know, like you, and, you know, I learned as I went along, and I applied the information that I was learning at the time, and things just grew. So I can't say enough. I think as PTs, we wait for things to be the perfect opportunity, and we don't realize that this model is definitely viable. As opposed to when I graduated 16 years ago, if you want to go into private practice, you really needed some significant startup to do this type of model. And, you know, I always thought of private practice owners were people who, you know, either had a lot of money and they just opened their practice, or they weren't going to make any money because they couldn't compete with all the larger based hospital organization and physician owned practices in my area. So that was always something that I initially wanted to go into when I first graduated, but I graduated with 200 grand in debt, just like most people. So yeah. I knew that wasn't even an option for me in the beginning.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So I want to definitely touch on the outsourcing, about who you approach, what you did to get a new logo, new brand, new website, new domain, like the .com of your website. We're going to touch on all that, but you mentioned a couple of things about the model of what you're doing. So really quick, if I were a runner near you, so I'm in New York City and you're not too far away in Connecticut. So if I were near you, are you accepting any insurance, or is it completely out of pocket?
Yeah, it's completely out of network. So cash-based model. I do have some patients that have out-of-network benefits. I supply them the super bill, and they get reimbursement from their insurances.
Awesome. Excellent. So now with the outsourcing, because I don't want to go off on that tangent, because that would be like a whole other conversation, which again, we'd be happy to have you back in the future and talk more about like the business model of of cash-based physical therapy, which is, again, out-of-pocket, fee-for-service. There's all these like synonyms for like the same thing. But the one thing that we talked about before when we discussed this, of all the things that you did, I wanted to touch on outsourcing. This is another thing that also causes like analysis by paralysis for physical therapists that are out there that are like, oh, I need to like do the logo on my own. I need to like, you know, I need to make the website on my own. I need, you know, there's all these decisions and things to do. And outsourcing for me has been great in terms of hiring other people to do Google ads, hiring other people to build my website, even though I could build a website. But it's like, what's my trade-off in time? Like, could I see a patient or two during that time and generate way more than what I would, you know, sunken cost and time into building a website or something like that? So what was the process when you eventually decided to change the brand, the name, the logo, and everything? Talk about some of the things that you did with outsourcing, because I know that will definitely help PTs and practice owners out there.
Yeah, well, I definitely wanted to do it right. Once I made, you know, the decision to change the name, initially I was there, like I said, I was really kind of flying by the seat of my pants initially. And I actually had a college student make my initial logo as a school project. He was an entrepreneurial student. So he had a, you know, school project and he did my logo. So that worked out initially because I was, you know, bootstrap budget. And I just needed a logo at the time just to start the business. And then I realized, you know, as I went on and also as I got involved in a local networking group. So in our town, we have an owners only small business networking group. And there are a lot of individuals in that group that I realized can help my business. So there's a graphic designer. There's a website guy. There's a promotional products guy. So there's a lawyer's account, you know, there's all these people that really, and we're actually presenting this at our meeting and kind of showing kind of the teamwork. And, you know, most of these networking groups are more of like a referral based kind of situation where that's what most people are expecting. And I really wasn't expecting, but kind of these individuals really helped kickstart my business and the whole rebrand of the business. So it really started out with meeting with the graphic designer, and she kind of specializes in logo design and rebranding. So she did a fantastic job with the logo. I'm very happy with it. And it's something, like you said, that I wouldn't be able to do. You know, it's like when your patients are, you know, coming into the clinic, or you talk to someone you run into at the grocery store, and they're saying their knee's killing them and they're, you know, treating it themselves. And you're like, well, why don't you just come see me? Like, I can get you better and you won't have to deal with this pain. You know, outsourcing is definitely important. You got to seek out the specialist that they deserve. And then the same thing with the website. In my PhD work, I had a whole course on building a website, which was absolutely ridiculous looking back at it right now, as far as waste of 3 months and a lot of tuition dollars for a website that wasn't efficient. It would not be sustainable in today's day. So that was kind of crazy. But I knew that that's a lot of work and I want to do it right. And I want to, so I did invest. And that was really like my first big investment in the business, actually, was, you know, the website and the logo, and then getting some of the promotional products that I did get. You know, I got a great guy who did all my clothing and also did some like really nice high-end water bottles for some local workshops that I did with runners. So I wanted to really kind of show the business and do it kind of right.
That's awesome. So with outsourcing, what, other than the networking group, let's say if someone doesn't have a networking group already, maybe they're not plugged into that. Were there other resources or other websites? For me, I've looked at Fiverr, but you know, I've used Fiverr for logos in the past, Fiverr.com, I believe it is. You can just look up, a lot of people use that for logos, but did you look for or find any other services for other PTs out there listening that they could maybe use if they didn't already have like a networking group that you're in for outsourcing?
I honestly didn't at the present moment. I will be, you know, the kind of the next step is to try and outsource more, because I do see the value in that in terms of my scheduling and doing all the, you know, appointment reminders and calendar functions and all of that. I feel like I am spending a lot of time on that end. as well as, you know, social media posts and trying to see if some of that can be outsourced. I love connecting with my audience, but, you know, it is a lot of time. So looking at outsourcing some of that. I did actually go on vacation in Aruba for a week and did outsource that. I created everything ahead of time, and then I had someone, you know, do all the daily posts for me. And that was actually a great feeling, like the just feeling of relief. So I agree with you that outsourcing is beneficial, especially when you think about trading time for money, right? And it's like, yes, can you be more valuable in making business decisions for your business and or doing higher level projects and or treating patients as opposed to doing kind of smaller tasks that can be, you know, that you can outsource to someone else for a cheaper price than what it costs for your time.
Right. And since you're mentioning the social media posts, I actually, a year or two ago, I had bought this tool called meetedgar.com. There's other tools out there. There's like, and I get nothing for it. If I mention, they obviously, they don't have any, we don't have any partnership or anything, but there's tools out there like Buffer and Hootsuite and MeetEdgar. And it's like, you can load this software tool with like posts and you could schedule them to go out in the future. Unfortunately, right. Here's what happened is a lot of these social media platforms, including Facebook, they allow these tools to be plugged into their service, but they actually don't expose them to a wider audience of the people that you're connected to, because they know it's like a false fake tool that's like a plugin or a widget, compared to like an organic post where someone actually like puts a link or text whatever and then hits post manually, because obviously these systems, these social media platforms are so advanced that like they know if it's natural versus organic. So just because you mentioned this, I just wanted to ask, which is, when you were in Aruba, you paid someone to manually post for you, or did you guys use a tool or what?
No, so she did manually post for me. I know I am actually starting to look into the tools because I've heard some people have had success with them, but I agree, especially in 2019, like I know Instagram changed their algorithm once again, and a lot of people I talk to have huge followings, a lot more than I do, noticed a big dip in their numbers in terms of reach. Because they are getting smarter and kind of knowing kind of what posts are more business-like and business-related. But I agree, if you are automating everything, I think they're going to be able to pick up on that and realize that this is automated system that's doing these posts, and we're not going to, you know, put that in front of as many eyes as something that was more personal or organic, because they're trying to keep it more personal, both Instagram and Facebook.
Right. And I actually got to give you some kudos, because we're connected on Facebook, and there's some recent posts from you where you're like, you're doing a selfie picture and you're like running. And like the other day it was like snowing, right? It was like snow in the background. I'm like, oh man, Dwayne's got a lot of snow up in Connecticut. And it's those are the types of posts that really turns out resonate with your audience, because it's kind of like natural and raw, compared to like if it was kind of like a graphic that you had someone make and like you posted the graphic and it was like, call Spark Physical Therapy right now or whatever. So it seems like you're, and this is also a side deviation from the conversation, but I think you're using social media well. So is that something that you had guidance on as well, or is that something that's just your natural self being you?
Yeah, it's something I've learned as I kind of went on with the business. You know, I went in, when I opened the business, again, I didn't have any income at all. I have a huge amount of debt from all these, you know, degrees that I have. And, you know, it wasn't something that I was going to pay to market in the beginning. So I was leveraging the free, you know, marketing of social media. And I just learned a ton as I went along and just kind of track things and see what works, what doesn't. But I agree, definitely the personal posts, you know, always get more likes, always get more comments. If I post something that I'm with my daughter, you know, at her gymnastics meet, or we're at the dance competition, you know, those always get more likes and, you know, comments than, you know, a thing I spent like 40 minutes on, you know, editing a video, caption, putting graphics in, yep, writing captions, you know, writing out my post. That's this very educational post that I'm just like, wow, this is a bang up program that I just put together for shoulder mobility. There's four exercises. I talked about the benefits of it. And, you know, I'm like really excited about it. And then those other posts will definitely always get more reach, more likes, more comments. So I've tried to blend the two and just show some more of my personal side, because I do have more of a personal business and it is not your traditional in the clinic business. So I do want to showcase that and showcase who I am to my, you know, potential clients.
And I've also noticed in some of the recent posts that you have what you're wearing right now. So guys, if you're listening on the podcast, or if you're listening on iTunes or SoundCloud, you're going to have to jump over to YouTube to see this interview, episode 87 right now with Dwayne Scotty. So you're always wearing your brand name, which is great. Like, that's awesome. And then if there's some social media pictures with your daughter or friends or colleagues or whatever, it's like you're rocking your logo. So which is exactly what a business owner needs to be doing. So it's just, it's awesome that even some of those like personal posts, I'm sure will get some eyeballs on your brand name. And that's like, that's really helpful, because people need, with marketing, with like a new company, new brand, new anything, there's like some, you know, there's research out there that says like someone needs 7 to 21 touches of your brand, your name, your logo before they may do business with you. So that might be, they've seen a couple of your posts, they've seen your, you know, they've seen you in person at like at one of these events or a race or something, and they saw you with your zipper up, with your hoodie on or something with your logo on it. Then they might have connected with you on social media. Then maybe they look at your website to see, they learn more about you. So now you're adding up with all these touches. So it just seems like you're doing all these things, you know, through social media and in person.
Exactly. And I'm really starting to see the benefits of that now, honestly, like a year later in business, just because now I just get so many people who reach out to me and they'll say like, I don't even know how I've seen you before. I'm not sure if it's Facebook, Instagram, whatever, you know, I've seen you. I know of your stuff, you know, more people are, I'm getting more of those kind of cold calls, as opposed to, you know, the first, you know, year was really just word of mouth referrals, former patients that I've seen, people who work, because I work on site at gymnastics gyms as well as dance studios. So it was like those local people who belong to those places, and then word of mouth. But now I'm getting more kind of cold calls of people reaching out and saying, oh, I've seen, you know, this video that you did on, you know, ankle strengthening for dancers, and, you know, I have a dancer. And so I think, like you said, that brand recognition, and that's something that, yeah, I try to leverage that as best as I can and just get the word out, you know, that I can help people and people, you know, local business owners. It's a matter of getting that word out. And I feel like us as PTs, we do a terrible job at it inherently, and especially the older PTs, I'll call myself older. So more than 10 years experience, where, you know, when I graduated, we didn't have direct access. So we never, you know, really looked at PT ever as marketing or trying to reach out to the communities, and everything was coming to us, physician referral, you know, all the patients were coming to us. And then it wasn't really until I stepped into private practice out of the hospital-based system that I was in for about 10 years and was in private practice, where 100% of my patients were direct access patients. And it was just word of mouth and people getting in touch with me, finding out about me and wanting to see me for the dance medicine services, gymnastics medicine. And then I was like, wait, so you can just like talk to the community? And, you know, we have full direct access here in Connecticut. And I was like, wow, this is kind of cool. So that's kind of my take, is I'm trying to reach out to the community, let them know what we do as physical therapists, and let them know how I can help them solve their problems. And hopefully that gets recognized with, like you said, with the branding, the logo. And that's why the logo thing is so important. Going back to like when I had my graphic designer, when we met initially, she said she knew I was active on, you know, social media. And she said, you know, it's so important to be able, your brand is everything, right? You want it to be recognizable. And then hopefully in a couple of years, you know, people are going to know like Spark. Oh yeah, that's physical therapy. Oh yeah, Spark dancer, Spark gymnast, Spark runner. You know, that those are kind of the business offshoots of the branding off of the business name.
Awesome. Let's cover briefly the website. So it's the domain that you got, the .com. What is it, and why did you choose that wording?
So it's sparkyourtraining.com. The reason why choose the wording, it definitely wasn't the first choice. So what happens is when you're looking for a website and you go in and Google to see if it's available, it seems available. There isn't a website out there. And then, so my website guy, we were going back and forth and whether or not, you know, Spark Physical Therapy was available and another couple options. And then when we went to go and try to get the domain, we realized that it wasn't available. So I think there's all these kind of guys out there who are monitoring how many people are searching, who's searching, what names, and kind of buying them up. And then, because when you would search it later, you'd get, you know, some link that, you know, you got to pay like $600 to buy the domain from someone else, essentially. So looking at the domain name, so decision-making with that was huge because I really wanted consistency. So with the previous business name, it was Scotty Performing Arts PT. And then like on Instagram, I was, you know, at Performing Arts Doc. And I kind of liked that because it was catchy and kind of people seemed to respond well to that. But with the new rebrand, I really wanted consistency through all platforms. And then as we were talking about before, with the business name choosing to do Spark Physical Therapy, how do we, you know, bring that image of more of that performance-based and that I work with athletes, right? So I help active adults and athletes get back to the workouts and the sports they love. And how am I going to message that? So then we started thinking about, okay, what are more catchy domain names that we can use? So there was a bunch of different alternatives, but we came up with Spark Your Training as more of that catchier phrase. And then I did the same, I was available. So that's the other thing, when you come up with these names, you have to make sure it's available on all platforms. And it gets difficult, you know, sure, on Instagram, Facebook, and I wanted to make sure it was, because I am active on both of those platforms. So Spark Your Training was available. So then we wound up buying the domain. So that was going to be name of the website, and then change my handle on Instagram to Spark Your Training. And then you can also do at Spark Your Training on Facebook, which takes you to my Spark Physical Therapy business page.
Awesome. So if there's any PT practice owners, physical therapy practice owners, or new grads or DPT students, what's the best way for any of them to reach out to you and connect with you for general questions? Maybe someone lives nearby, they want to meet up, or specifically if they have questions about naming, logo, brand, URL, you know, website choosing, and all that's outsourcing, all those types of decisions that you had to go through and make the actual call and the decision on. What's the best place for someone to reach out to you? Your email address, social media handle, your website, anything like that?
Yeah, you can find everything on the website at sparkyourtraining.com. But as I said, the handles on Instagram are at sparkyourtraining. As well as Facebook. So send me a DM on Instagram. I'm pretty active there. If you do want to send an email, it's just Duane, D-U-A-N-E, at sparkyourtraining.com.
Awesome. So for myself, Dave Kittle, here at PT Tech Talk Podcast, episode 87, go ahead and check out cashbasedphysicaltherapy.org for more. If you're interested in learning more about how to get patients and clients to pay out of pocket for your wonderful services that you are deservingly offering and should be helping the community with. And for Rob Vining, thank you for the publication, the very minimal or no editing, because Duane's such a smooth talker, we don't even probably have to edit it. Rob Vining, thank you for your help with posting this episode as it is recorded. Go ahead and check out telehealthpt.com for all things up to date in the telehealth world for physical therapy. For PT Tech Talk Podcast 87, we will catch you guys next time. Duane, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Dave. This has been awesome.